Wednesday, March 2nd, 2022. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. I hope your week is going well. Hope you, your family, your friends, you're staying healthy, you're staying strong mentally during this time. Do not forget, though, today is actually a pretty significant holiday, at least for Christians around the world. Ash Wednesday signals the beginning of Lenten season for Christians today. It takes place 46 days before Easter and the day after Shrove Tuesday, or as they call it, Fat Tuesday. Hopefully not too many of you are recovering from Fat Tuesday. Hopefully you're not face down in a pile of your own sick right now. Ash Wednesday today actually serves focus on the death and repentance that those ashes represent. In many churches, the ashes are made from palm branches that are burned from the previous Palm Sunday service. Following service or mass, the pastor or priest will then invite their congregation to get those ashes rubbed onto their forehead. They usually will make like a cross pattern or some sort of mark on their forehead. Now, I'll tell you ahead of time, some other priests or pastors, they might just rub the ashes on your upper lip and then call it Stash Wednesday. Either way, this solemn day begins a time of meditation, reflection, self-examination, study, and preparation for the holiday of Easter. So, Ash Wednesday today is a day for you to think back about, how are you doing in life? Reflect on the decisions, the life choices you're making. How are those life choices going to affect your future? How are your choices affecting you, as a person? How is your attitude affecting your life, your work, the people around you, the people that you love? Ash Wednesday, for those who do celebrate it, is a day to take a very solemn look at yourself. And it is a day to kind of decide what kind of person are you in life. What kind of changes could we make as people that might help us? It might help our families. It might help our loved ones. It might help those less fortunate around us. What if we were a little bit more compassionate? What if we gave a little bit more to those who needed it? What if we were a little less petty, a little less selfish? What kind of changes could we make that actually affect our world today on Ash Wednesday? And then instead, we will just give up like drinking soda for a few meaningless days.
Look, there's a lot to live for in this life. A lot of great things like soda pop, big fresh can of soda pop.
Whatever we got to do to get through that season of Lent, right? Now, when I think about the start of Lent and how it might pertain to the sports world, we know during that Lent time, a lot of people give things up. Honestly, not many people giving up that serious of things. Like I said, most people are like giving up some soda pop or, hey, I'm not going to have sweets on every other Tuesday, whatever. Not really anything that important. But I started thinking about Lent for sports stars. And I think there are a few things that we should point out that some sports figures in the world should give up for Lent. I think of the fact that Denver Broncos president John Elway, he needs to give up drafting quarterbacks for Lent. That's obviously something he's had a problem with. Let's go ahead and give that up. Golfer Tiger Woods, you probably need to give up driving for Lent. Driving, not your best suit. Let's go ahead and give that up. You've had some problems with that. Let's go ahead and stop it now. Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson, let's all be honest, he really needs to give up getting massages for Lent. That is not helping anyone. That is a bad, bad look. NFL wide receiver Antonio Brown, he should probably give up not being in some sort of psychiatric therapy for Lent. He needs to get back to that stuff because not being in it is not helping him at all. Antonio Brown has some work to do. You might want to get involved in Lent this year. Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, he should probably give up his brother and fiance for Lent. Honestly, I think his life would be much, much easier if he did. Finally, NBA superstar LeBron James, like he has said in a few different playoff series in his illustrious career, for Lent this year, I'm giving up. End of sentence. Period. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us what you are giving up for Lent this season. Hopefully it is a good one. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are @dailydosports. doesn't have to be Lent related. Honestly, I'm not even Catholic. I don't celebrate Lent, but maybe you do. We'd love to hear from you, but maybe you have a question. Maybe you have a comment. We've actually been getting a number of questions, had some people sending us some trivia questions. Hey, we will take whatever we get. We'll always take the time to get you an answer. We just might end up using what you send us on the show. Feel free to reach out. Also, make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com and checking out some of the new articles that are going up there every week. I release a Daily Doses on Tuesdays. It usually has more of a local slant, but honestly, it could be about anything. We also have our featured columnist, Young Jimmy, who posts new articles on Thursdays, and you never know which direction that he is going to go in there. Plus, when you go to DailyDoseSports.com, you can always find a link to the podcast. You can always find a link to the YouTube videos. You can even find a link to some things that you didn't even know existed over there, some information maybe about the host, and you can find a link to some Daily Dose gear. Speaking of that Daily Dose gear, we know we're all still doing that online shopping. Be sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up some Daily Dose gear. Got a few different designs for you to choose from over there. We have our Daily Dose football and basketball designs over there. And the great thing about them is you can order them in the color of your favorite team, whoever you may cheer for. You can get it in green. You can get it in blue. You can get it in purple. You can get your Daily Dose gear in whatever color you want if you are ordering a t-shirt, a sweatshirt, or a hoodie. And they have a number of other items over there as well. But TeePublic is always doing a ton of sales. They will get you your gear as quickly as possible. Make sure you stop by TeePublic.com, search Daily Dose, and find exactly what you need. Hey, today on the show, we know the NFL season is, of course, over. But what you might not realize is how quickly some really important dates are coming for us in the NFL. And we actually have a few questions for you to keep in mind during this off-season time. Plus, we also have a Daily Dose Top 5 for you today. And trust me on this, with all that is going on in the world right now, you are not going to want to miss the Daily Dose Top 5 this week. Before we get to any of that, though, let's discuss a few news stories that have come out over the past few weeks. And let's go ahead and start off in Major League Baseball for a change this week, where the league has now canceled opening day, with Commissioner Rob Manfred announcing yesterday the sport will go ahead and scrap regular season games over that labor dispute for the first time in 27 years after lockout talks collapsed in the hours before the management's deadline. Manfred said he is canceling the first two series of the season that were set to begin on March 31st. He will drop those from the schedule, and that will drop the schedule from 162 games to 156 games at the very most. Manfred said the league and union have not made plans for any future negotiations and that players will not be paid for those missed games. You know, after the sides made progress during negotiations, they say, starting on Monday, the league sent the Players Association a best and final offer on Tuesday. And the players, of course, rejected that offer, which, of course, sets the stage for MLB to follow through on their threat to shut down opening day, which they now have done. Players Union Chief Tony Clark, speaking at a news conference on Tuesday, said the players remain committed to the bargaining process and getting back on the field as soon as possible. And of course, none of us believe any of that. At 5 o'clock on Tuesday, Rob Manfred issued a statement that many fans had been dreading. There is nothing to look forward to on opening day, which of course I know there are people out there who actually do look forward to opening day. I mean, I'm not really one of them. MLB barely even advertises anything for opening day. It's not like there's this big buildup for opening day. All of a sudden, you'll just be like, oh, there's baseball today. Oh, yeah, it was opening day. Oh, yeah, it was opening day. I kind of forgot about it because they don't do anything. Here's the crazy thing to think about, though. This is now the 9th work stoppage in baseball history. And it's going to be the 4th time that it causes regular season games to completely be canceled. And I have to ask, does baseball ever just stop and ask themselves, I wonder why our sport just continues to poop their proverbial pants all the time and how we have gone from being America's pastime to really just being an eyelash away from like the Winter Olympics? I mean, I want you to think about this for 1 second. If I gave you the choice You can watch, I don't know, the luge or the bobsled, or you can watch like Brewers versus Phillies on just a regular season night. Which one are you taking? I gotta tell you, I might take the Winter Olympics. Like, it's close. I at least have to think about it. Okay, so here's another test for you. And it might sound like I'm joking, but I'm not. Which would you rather watch? Major League Baseball or the USFL? Because don't forget, the 2022 USFL schedule is set to kick off Saturday, April 16th, with the New Jersey Generals facing the Birmingham Stallions. It's actually going to be simulcast on both NBC and on Fox in April. Now, the USFL's 2022 regular season schedule is going to play through mid-June. They will have a playoff semifinal game, and then they will have a championship game. Championship is scheduled for July 3rd in the USFL. And I realize, the USFL, they don't have the players just yet. But you might remember a few names on their rosters. A few of the early quarterbacks that were taken in the draft for the USFL. Michigan's Shea Patterson. You might remember that name. Northwestern's Clayton Thorson. Richmond's Kyle Laletta. Again, not huge names, but names that football fans might remember. And if there's nothing else to watch, you might start tuning in to USFL games and never switch back to MLB. Hey, Major League Baseball can never get out of their own way. And this is yet another example of why no one really watches their sport. And honestly, I don't see this lockout ending anytime soon. Forget the 156 games. This season is in jeopardy because Major League Baseball just can't get their heads collectively out of their behinds so that everyone can make money. This is the one sport that has more labor strife than any other sport. And not coincidentally, this is another sport where the players' union has a ton of control. MLB is in big, big trouble this year. Now, we know that NFL television ratings are booming. We know the NFL is just killing it in TV ratings. We also know that NBA ratings are kind of tanking. Number of reasons for both of those. In fact, if you didn't see it, NASCAR's Daytona 500 a couple weeks ago absolutely crushed the NBA All-Star Game. But forget about all those. What about college football? How is college football doing as a whole? We know college football TV ratings, they're not quite on the same level as the NFL, but they are pretty good. But here's something about college football you might not know. You might not realize. Did you know nationally, the average college football attendance this past year in 2021 was down 15%. That is more than 7,000 people per game from 2008. Now, obviously, some of the reason that is down, there is still some COVID-related hesitancy to go to games. No question. I get that. But here's the thing. It's not just that. I mean, last year marked the seventh straight year and ninth year in the last 10 that college football attendance has declined. So it isn't just this COVID stuff. It's been declining over the last decade. The NCAA say they have been tracking attendance since 1976, and that the per-game national decline of nearly 2,000 fans in 2021 is the steepest decline they have ever had. Those 2021 numbers include attendance at home, also attendance at neutral site games, and in bowl games. But here's the thing. I know when we hear this, we go, well, maybe my team just isn't very good. Like, my team this last year didn't have a great year. So maybe it's just because your favorite team isn't doing that well, so people aren't going to see the games. That's not the case. The decrease is all over. It's nationwide. More than half of the teams in the final AP 25 saw attendance declines. So it is good programs that are also feeling this. 8 of the top 10 teams in the AP top 25 had a decline in attendance. For the 7th consecutive year, a majority of conferences declined in attendance to college football games. Compare that to 2010, when only the Pac-12 saw fewer fans attend games among major conferences. And you might sit there and say, well, that's a Pac-12 thing. Big deal. We know the Pac-12, they have their own issues. Well, for the 23rd consecutive year, the SEC, of course, led the country in attendance. The SEC pulled over 72,000 fans per college football game. That's insane. And yet, that league is also not immune to this trend. The SEC suffered an attendance decline for the fifth straight year this past year. And even though it wasn't as big as some of the other conferences, there is a decline. The SEC posted its lowest average attendance since 1999 this last year. And that is not counting the COVID year. They don't count that year. Now, we can look at these attendance issues and we can just kind of go, well, hey, that's just how it is these days. Kids have other things to do. People can watch it on TV. But, you know, I've been telling you this on the dose for a while. Universities are going to start feeling that COVID pinch real soon. And for some universities, it's going to be a lot more painful than it is for others. Here's the bottom line. These games are insanely overpriced. You can't take a family of like four to go to a college football game. It costs you $400. The prices are crazy. It is more and more difficult for people to go. It's way easier to not put up with the crowds, to not put up with the nonsense, and just sit home on your couch and watch the game there. You don't have to deal with the weather. Not to mention the fact, if you've been to a college football game anytime recently, a lot of times you have obnoxious fans. You have student sections that act like idiots. Yes, I'm looking at you, Colorado. And it's not worth the time and effort and money to go see these games in person. It would be way easier to stay home where I can watch it on TV, on my own couch, with just my own family, and I also get to watch every other game around the country that day. To put up with the nonsense, and the parking, and the student sections. Hey, I'd rather stay home and not deal with a lot of it. If these universities want to start packing their stands again, they had better make a few changes. You had better start policing your stadiums a little bit better. You had better start bringing those ticket prices down where people can actually go to them and take their families to them, because this is a trend that isn't like a one-year thing or a two-year thing. This is decades, and we are seeing a decline. And I'm telling you right now, when these universities start feeling that pinch from COVID, this is going to make it even worse. It is going to be a tough challenge, but if you want your fans back in your stadiums, you had better figure out a way to make the experience a little bit better when you actually attend these games. This is money that you are going to start losing if you don't figure it out. Hey, I know we just came off the Super Bowl, and now we're kind of got like Daytona and the NBA is kind of going, and a lot of people have not yet tuned in fully to college basketball, and I get it. College basketball season is kind of weird. We kind of keep an eye on it, but we really don't commit fully until that March Madness tournament gets here, and then we dive in full on, right? We love it. We're filling out our bracket. We're telling people at the office, oh man, I got this team, and you know, this team can't rebound with this team. And you know, this team has a big man. They're going to pose some matchup problems. We love March Madness, but only when the tournament gets here. We don't really care about college basketball until then. Well, maybe you haven't jumped in just yet. Maybe you're not even that excited for March Madness just yet. There's not that big name team. There's not like Gonzaga was last year, where we're all looking at Gonzaga like, hey, they are the big dog favorite. We don't have the big dog favorite. Not this year. You want some proof? I have some proof for you today on how much we do not have a favorite this year, but also how wide open the tournament this year is going to be. Get this if you didn't see it. For the first time in college basketball history, 7 of the top 10 teams lost on the same day. That took place this last Saturday, where number 1 Gonzaga went down. So did number 2 Arizona, number 3 Auburn, number 4 Purdue, number 5 Kansas, number 6 Kentucky, and number 9 Texas Tech all lost on Saturday. That surpasses the previous record of 6 top 10 teams in the AP poll losing in one day. This past Saturday was also the first time the top 6 teams in the top 25 poll all lost. 1 through 6, all lost. Now, when you see this, you might look at it and say, well, then that means this year, who even cares? And I totally disagree with that. Take some of this with a grain of salt. Because keep in mind, all these losses on Saturday their conference losses to teams that know each other very, very well. That can happen. When you are playing a team that you play twice a year, sometimes more, if you play them again in the tournament, every single year, you know their coaches, you know their players, you know what they like to run, you know what they hate to do, you know everything about that team, you know them backward and forward. And on any given week, when you're playing in conference, someone can bite you. So I don't sit there and just look at this and say, oh, all the teams are terrible, who even cares? No, you're playing conference teams. It's going to be tough. However, we know that come tournament time, you are going to get teams that are experienced, that know how to play together. You are going to get teams that just, for whatever reason, they get hot at the right time. And sometimes in March Madness, there is no substitute for just being red hot when the tournament arrives. I say it all the time, but the NCAA tournament is the only major sporting event that always lives up to the hype. Hey, Super Bowls might be good. They might be terrible. Auto races can be good. They can be boring. Basketball, baseball, hockey. You have those 7-game series. You can have a 4-game sweep and they're not even fun and they're not even interesting. But the NCAA tournament always has surprises. It always has upsets. It always has buzzer beaters. And this year might be even more insane. Parity is showing itself more and more in college sports, and it may really show this year in college basketball. I am warning you right now, you are going to want to fill in those college basketball brackets wisely, because this year we are going to be in for an absolutely wild ride. Hey, next week on The Dose, we will start to turn our attention to that March Madness tournament. What teams truly could win it all? What teams might be a little bit dangerous to pick? They might get you in some trouble. And who could end up being kind of that dark horse Cinderella team that you did never expect? We're going to let you know some of those teams next week on The Dose. So be sure that you tune in. But I'm calling it right now. March Madness this year might be one of the craziest years we have ever seen, because there is not that heavy, heavy favorite. It is a bunch of good teams. And on any given night, anyone can be beaten. Okay, coming back. We just finished up the NFL season, and now we are all going to be, I don't know, kind of a little bored until it starts again. Well, we have some dates for you to keep in mind that are actually coming really, really fast. In fact, one of them is already here. Plus, we are going to look at some of the biggest NFL offseason questions that we have. We're going to get to that when we get back. So the NFL season is, of course, not over. And while we now all wait for March Madness, or, I don't know, the USFL or the XFL, whatever we can find to distract us until the NFL gets going again, we want it. Well, the league has now turned from just being this fall sport to a year-round spectacle that we need to keep an eye on constantly. Yeah, we know. Training camp starts clear out in late July. The preseason will be in August. And then the regular season kicks off in September. But there are still a number of things to watch in the NFL prior to any of that. Right now on The Dose, we are going to give you a few dates to keep in mind that are going to be here before you know it. And they are going to be worth watching and give you kind of that NFL fix, even though the NFL season isn't going to be for quite a while. So let's go ahead and jump into some NFL dates. And then we even have a few NFL questions that I have for the offseason as well. Of course, we know the Underwear Olympics got started in Indianapolis yesterday as the NFL Scouting Combine kicked off. Prospective NFL players gathered in Indianapolis, Indiana, where they will be poked and prodded and measured and questioned for a few days in preparation for that NFL draft that will be coming very soon as well. And I know that every year, when we have the scouting combine, a lot of people will complain about the combine and how it's so impersonal. It's just this crazy cattle call and it's so bad for the players. And I get it. I really do. But you have to remember, we have had a few cases where players full on lie about their size or about their injuries or whatever. So you kind of have to deal with the scouting combine. It's just part of going to the NFL. Hey, let's be honest. I always try to relate pro sports, especially back to the real world. We've all been to those terrible cattle calls for like job fairs, right? And they're brutal. And you're trying to sell yourself. And you're going up and saying, hi, I'd be great for your company. What do you have to offer? And all that nonsense. This is the same kind of thing. They just do it in a pair of shorts and a t-shirt. But you know, the scouting combine sometimes is worth watching. Because always know this with the NFL scouting combine. There will be scouting combine heroes. We find them every single year. Every year, we have some player that we've never really heard of that really didn't do all that much on the field of play during college football. But then they'll go to the NFL scouting combine. And maybe their hand will measure really big. Or they can jump really high. Or, I don't know, they can balance a chair on their chin or something. And they will be drafted way too early because of how they did on the combine. Nothing to do with whether or not they can play football. But hey, they swam really fast at the combine. So hey, let's pick them early. We see it every single year. So you might want to watch the NFL scouting combine that, like I said, got started yesterday and will be rolling for the next few days. You might see someone that your team is going to end up selecting in that NFL draft. That runs from yesterday until March 7th. On March 8th, we have another date you want to keep in mind because we will have the deadline for NFL teams to designate their franchise or transition players that have been unable to come to terms on a long-term contract with their club. Now, if you don't understand that, what the franchise tag does in the NFL, it means you can retain a player for one more year at the high end of the salary scale, but it allows you more time to try to get your player to sign a long-term deal with that club. Now, this year in the NFL, there are a few players of note that could be franchised by their team. Tight end Zach Ertz in Arizona, he might get the franchise tag. Wide receiver, I guess kind of running back, Cordarrelle Patterson in Atlanta. The Green Bay Packers could franchise wide receiver Devontae Adams. The Kansas City Chiefs may choose to franchise safety Tyrann Mathieu. And I would think that the Los Angeles Chargers may franchise wide receiver Mike Williams. What about the Los Angeles Rams? Could they put the franchise tag on pass rusher Von Miller? Very possible. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers might choose to use their franchise tag on wide receiver Chris Godwin. And the Washington Commanders, I haven't said that before on the podcast. We didn't really discuss the Washington football team changing their name to the Washington Commanders. And I'm not going to go into it right now. I'll just say this. That's a dumb nickname. But the Washington Commanders may choose to franchise offensive guard Brandon Scherff. Hey, there are a few big names out there to watch for. And here's the thing to keep in mind. If those players don't get the franchise tag, they could be hitting the free agent market where anyone could then sign them. That could be very, very interesting to keep an eye on as well. The designation for franchise players starts on March 8th. That is already next week. Then on March 14th, again, coming very, very quickly, during the period beginning at 12 noon on March 14th, that is New York East Coast time, and ending at 3:59 p.m., small window, clubs are permitted to contact and enter into contract negotiations with certified agents of players who are going to become restricted free agents upon the expiration of their 2021 player contract. On March 16th, 4 p.m., NFL free agency officially begins. That is already here. That is coming so fast. NFL free agency is right around the corner. Now, keep this in mind. In addition to those players we just discussed that could get the franchise tag, if they don't, they will be unrestricted free agents. There are also some players out there that are going to become free agents. And I'll tell you right now, a number of pass rushers. Arizona Cardinals pass rusher Chandler Jones is going to be a free agent. Kansas City Chiefs offensive tackle Orlando Brown Jr. is going to be a free agent. Chicago Bears wide receiver Allen Robinson. Cincinnati Bengals safety Jesse Bates. Cleveland Browns pass rusher Jadeveon Clowney. Dallas Cowboys pass rusher Randy Gregory. Remember, Los Angeles Rams wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. should be a free agent. New Orleans Saints quarterback Jameis Winston will be a free agent. And so will Denver Broncos quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. Hey, there are a few names of interest on that NFL free agency list. And like I said, depending on how that franchise tag period goes, there may be even more big names out there available in free agency that will really, really ramp up and get going on March 16th. That is coming quickly as well. Moving forward to the end of the month, March 27th, the Good Old Boys Network is going to be meeting in Florida as the NFL owners are going to be meeting to discuss changes that could be coming for the league. Now, after so many people have been complaining about the NFL overtime rules, could we get any kind of a change there? I'm not holding my breath, but I mean, we can hope that maybe somehow the most popular league in this country can figure out a way for an NFL playoff game to not be decided by a coin toss. That seems really, really dumb. But a couple other things are on the agenda. Could they get rid of kickoffs altogether? There is talk that you could elect to either take the kickoff or just get the ball on a given yard line if you don't want to deal with the kickoff. That is a possibility. There is talk that the owners could tweak the time clock in order to get more plays per game. And there is talk of maybe changing some of the onside kick rules, but old dudes in a boardroom always come up with some sort of nonsense. We will see what it will bring this year. Those owner meetings run from March 27th to March 30th. They will be down in Florida. On April 4th, clubs that have hired a new head coach at the end of this last year may begin off-season workout programs. Remember, there are 9 different teams that have a new head coach this year. That's a pretty big number. So 9 different clubs can begin off-season workouts at the very beginning of April, already on April 4th. On April 18th, 2 weeks later, clubs that are returning their head coach may then begin their off-season workouts. On April 22nd is the deadline for restricted free agents to sign offer sheets. Otherwise, they may become available to other teams to sign them. And then from April 28th to April 30th, we will have the NFL draft coming to you. Hey, here's the thing to keep in mind about the NFL draft. We know there really isn't a big name quarterback coming out this season. And so the draft maybe won't be quite the big event that it has been in past years. But don't underestimate the talent coming out in this draft. There are still some really, really good players coming out this year. Michigan pass rusher Aiden Hutchinson, LSU cornerback Derek Stingley, Oregon pass rusher Kayvon Thibodeau. Plus, I mean, which 4th round quarterback talent is going to be drafted in the top 10 of the first round? Because we know it's going to happen. It happens every single year. I mean, my personal prediction would be probably Pitt quarterback Kenny Pickett, but you never know. Because again, teams go to the combine, they do private workouts, they fall in love with a guy, and they talk themselves into, hey, maybe this is going to be the guy. Maybe this is going to be our savior. Maybe he is going to be our quarterback for years to come. Is he going to be? No, probably not, but I guarantee it's going to happen. And for that reason alone, the NFL draft is going to be worth tuning in for. But the NFL draft is always great. Plus, I mean, remember this year, the draft is going to be held in Las Vegas. Which players are going to get in trouble? Vegas has plenty of trouble if you want it. Which player is going to get left in the green room for like an uncomfortably long time? That's always fun to watch too. Hey, the NFL draft is the one day of the year that every NFL team and its fans have hope. Because maybe your team outsmarted everyone and you got the player you needed. Maybe you didn't see anyone on the board and your team was smarter than everyone. And so you traded those picks. And again, you got exactly what you needed. The NFL draft gives us all hope that maybe our team is smarter than everyone else. Granted, it rarely happens. Our team is usually dumber than everyone else because the games start and then all that hope goes right down the toilet. But for a couple of days in April, we will have hope that maybe our team is finally turning things around. Finally, in early May, they haven't quite announced the official date quite yet, but in early May, we know the NFL schedule will be released. And yeah, we already know the teams that everyone's going to be facing, right? Like, you can go find out what teams are we scheduled to play. Which division will we play? We know our conference. We know our division. You can find out who is going to be on the schedule. But there's something about getting that actual NFL schedule, that is just really, really fun. I mean, who gets the primetime games? What are some of the key matchups going to be? Who faces this team? And then, you know, free agency is done by then. What free agent could be facing his old team? Maybe what coach could be facing his old team? Who gets the big holiday games? Who's going to be playing on Thanksgiving this year? Besides the stupid Lions and Cowboys, which we know. But who are they going to be playing? Could it be a good game? Who's going to be that late game on Thanksgiving? Who gets stuck playing overseas in a game they don't even want to play? The NFL schedule release is one last chance to get your NFL fixed before summer comes. And then we have to wait for training camps to open. But it's always kind of fun to get that schedule release and find out what we will be looking forward to in the fall. Okay, as we go into the offseason, I actually have five questions for the NFL that are going to be very interesting to see how they are answered this offseason. They might just tell us who's going to be holding up that Vince Lombardi trophy next year. Because the offseason can be a time to really build that team and kind of come up with pieces that you need. First off, here's my first question. Who is going to be able to manipulate that salary cap? Keep this in mind. There are currently 9 teams in the NFL that are going to be over the salary cap when that new season begins on March 16th, including the New Orleans Saints, the Green Bay Packers, the Buffalo Bills, the Dallas Cowboys, the Tennessee Titans, and the Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams. They are all over the cap when the season starts. They are going to have to make cuts just to get down under the cap. But it's not just that. There are also other teams out there, like the New England Patriots, the Arizona Cardinals, the San Francisco 49ers. They have very little salary cap money at all. Like, they don't have much money to work with. They're going to have to be creative, move some things around. And then you have teams like the Miami Dolphins, the Los Angeles Chargers, the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Denver Broncos that have quite a bit of salary cap money available. But here's the thing. We know there are ways to be creative. There are ways to offset that cap money. You rearrange contracts. You shuffle the way contracts are written up. There are ways to manipulate that salary cap. Who is going to be able to do it the best? Hey, we just saw the Los Angeles Rams. They juggled their money around this year so that they could go full on Super Bowl or bust. How did they keep signing people? They went and got player upon player upon player, but they did it because they were creative with that salary cap. Who can spend their cap money wisely this year? It's going to be a question I want to see the answer to. Next up is a question that might seem to only affect like one player, but I'm telling you right now, it has way more far-reaching repercussions. And that is this. What will Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson be doing this next year? And it isn't as simple as, well, if he plays, he just plays for the Texans. Or if he can't play again, then the Texans are really screwed again. Because remember this, Deshaun Watson wanted out of Houston before he was accused by 22 different women of some sort of sexual misdeeds. So let's say he were to be cleared. There's a pretty good chance that the Texans could trade him to one of many teams that are looking to upgrade their quarterback position. Could Deshaun Watson get cleared and then be, I don't know, shifted somewhere else? Because I don't know that Houston would be the best place for him right now for a lot of different reasons. But if not, if he's not going to be playing, if he's going to be on the shelf again or even something far worse, he's going to be somewhere else. Remember, those same teams that are searching for their franchise quarterback, they're still searching. Deshaun Watson won't be helping them either. It will be very interesting to watch what Deshaun Watson does this offseason. Our third question that we have, we ask this every year, but it could be even more important this year. Who wins NFL free agency this year? You know, so many years, we see the bottom feeders that are forced to overpay free agents to join their team so that they'll just come play for them. And the money, honestly, it's kind of wasted because the player joins the team. The player doesn't really care. They got paid and the team just keeps losing and it's a mess. You think of teams like the New York Jets. For years, you thought of teams like the Oakland at the time, Raiders. They would overpay a big name free agent, bring him in. He would do nothing. Who cares? Now, a lot of times, the talking heads, the hairdos on the sports channels, they'd be like, well, that team won free agency. No, they didn't. They went and overpaid for a free agent that won't really produce. And don't get me wrong, we will see that this year. Again, we see it every year. But what about those teams that could be contenders if they just found the right piece? Winning free agency is not about quantity. It is not about the big name. It is about getting the right quality to actually help your team win. If you are intelligent and you actually win free agency, truly win free agency, not the nonsense, but you actually got better in free agency, it might help your team win a whole bunch of games next year. Our fourth question, honestly, it might be much ado about nothing, but I want you to think about how many quarterbacks could be on the move this year. And my question is, where will the quarterbacks end up? Because remember, first off, we have quarterbacks that are at least hinting they would like to go somewhere else. Russell Wilson in Seattle, Kyler Murray in Arizona. They have both said, I'd kind of like to go other places. Then you have those players that are due giant paydays and the teams don't really want to pay them. Does that player restructure his deal? Does he give them a home team discount? Or does he say, no, you can pay me or you can trade me? So you have the Green Bay Packers, who, by the way, owe Aaron Rodgers $46 million this year. Or even worse, you have the Minnesota Vikings, who are on the hook for $45 million for Kirk Cousins, who is nowhere near Aaron Rodgers. And then you have the Atlanta Falcons, who are scheduled to pay their aging quarterback, Matt Ryan, $48 million. Do they pay them? Do they move them? Do they do something else with them? Going to be interesting to watch that. Then you have another level of team that are unhappy with their current quarterback. They would like to make a move. Think of teams like the Tennessee Titans and Ryan Tannehill, the San Francisco 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo, or even maybe the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield. Would they make a deal if they could? I would have to think that they would, wouldn't they? Finally, you have teams that do not have a quarterback and are desperate to get a quarterback. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, losing Tom Brady, they need a quarterback. They will be searching for someone to plug in because they still have a lot of pieces down in Tampa. The New Orleans Saints need a quarterback. Jameis Winston is a free agent. What do they do? Are they shopping? Are they looking? I would think they would have to be. Of course, my home team, Denver Broncos, need a quarterback like a crackhead needs a hit. The right quarterback going to the right team could completely change the fortunes for a number of different teams. So where are all these quarterbacks going to end up this year in the offseason? Going to be very, very interesting to watch. Finally, our final question that we have for the NFL offseason, who could be the team that is quietly coming together and is going to surprise all of us? Like the Cincinnati Bengals this year going all the way to the Super Bowl. Or the Buffalo Bills did the year before. Or the Tennessee Titans did the year before that. Now, maybe they don't win the Super Bowl, but we have surprising teams every single year in the NFL that honestly we don't really see coming. Who is going to be the team that builds a surprise this offseason and next year? As we're starting to get into the playoffs, we're like, where did this team come from? Well, they were quietly building. They were putting together a really good team. They had a lot of pieces they were putting together. And then they got the right free agent. They had another good draft. They were getting everything together. And now we're looking at them, seeing them winning on the field. And we never saw it coming. We see it every year. Who is going to build that team that surprises all of us this offseason? It is going to be fascinating to watch the NFL. We love the NFL. We can't get enough of it. I know the season just ended, but here we go. The NFL offseason activities are already upon us, and they are going to be very, very fun to watch. Hey, coming back, we are seeing some scary things in the world right now. We are seeing political strife. We are seeing war. We are seeing invasions. Think about this as we go to break. Who are the people that you would trust the most to defend us in these crazy times? Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get to our Daily Dose top five. Hey, some genuinely sad and scary news this past week as Russian President Vladimir Putin officially ordered his country's invasion of Ukraine last Wednesday. after greenlighting some sort of specialized military operation. Russian troops had been inching toward the border with the Ukraine, and Putin's recognition of the independence of two Ukrainian regions set the stage for last week's military action beginning. We decided to launch a special military action aimed at demilitarization and denazification of Ukraine, is what Putin had to say. Hey, I'm not going into the politics and the reasons of why this is all happening. I'm not going into all the reasons for and against the United States' involvement in this huge mess. You can find that on my other podcast, the Daily Dose Foreign Policy Podcast. But I did find something, once again, that brings this kind of back to the world of sports that this podcast actually does cover. See, unlike American celebrities who think they can make a video of themselves like singing Imagine or some nonsense, legendary Ukrainian boxing brother tandem Vitaly and Vladimir Klitschko, they aren't making any documentaries with Sean Penn. They're not having a Zoom call commercial reading some goofy poem. Instead, they are actually going to real work, and they are doing some scary, scary things. They are, in fact, on the ground in Ukraine, and they say they are going to be actually fighting with their countrymen and women to defend their country. They're also calling on the other countries in the world to assist civilians and stop Russian forces from their ongoing slaughter of the Ukrainian people. I mean, they are even saying that Vasily Lomachenko has joined a territorial defense battalion in Ukraine as that country is trying to fend off the invasion from Russia. Vasily Lomachenko? Can you imagine going to battle and next to you, you see the Klitschko brothers and Vasily Lomachenko? Vitaly Klitschko is actually the mayor of Kiev, and they say he is currently on the ground alongside his brother Vladimir, who enlisted in the Ukrainian army to help fight and help try to keep their country's sovereignty. Now, the Klitschkos put together quite a record as a boxing tandem in the world of sports. Those two brothers have a combined professional boxing record of 109 wins, with, I might add, 94 knockouts, and just 7 losses, including 46 world title fights. Hey, those two guys make me think the Russians had better be real careful. If you think this is going to be easy, the Klitschko brothers might have something to say about that. I mean, the Ukraine might end up being a much tougher nut to crack than people might actually think.
I'm not beaten yet. I still have armies in the Ukraine.
The Ukraine. You know what the Ukraine is? It's a sitting duck.
A road apple, Newman. The Ukraine is weak. It's feeble. I think it's time to put the hurt on the Ukraine.
I come from Ukraine. You not say Ukraine weak?
Yeah, well, we're playing a game here, pal.
Ukraine is game to you? How about I take your little Boris?
But hearing the Klitschko's involvement here, it also got me thinking, if I'm in the Ukraine right now and I see the Klitschko brothers fighting alongside me, I'm going to feel a lot more confident. But I actually am not from the Ukraine. I'm an American. So here's the question I have for you today on our Daily Dose Top 5. What American sports figures in history would you want fighting alongside you that might make you feel just a little bit better about going into battle? Today, our Daily Dose Top 5 counts down the top 5 American sports figures that I would want to go to battle with. And keep this in mind, this is when these people were in their prime. Time has no meaning here. We're just looking at all time. Who would we want as Americans to go into battle with us? Let's start off at number 5. And if I'm going into battle, I want someone back in that war room who's doing all the planning, all the plotting, all the scheming. Hey, if we're going to be out in the field, if we're going to be out on the front lines fighting, I don't want some idiot coming up with a plan. I need someone that is going to have my best interests at heart. But I also want someone that is capable of using whatever personnel that he has and putting them in the best situations to be successful. I also need someone who will do anything to win. Hey, who is someone that would try to win at all costs? Someone that might be great at scheming and coming up with a game plan to win. And honestly, I mean, this isn't a game. This isn't a sport. This is war. I don't care how they do it. Just get it done. So you come up with some film from other countries' military that maybe you're not supposed to have. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. You do what you have to do to win. So maybe he goes over to other countries and maybe he deflates their Jeep tires. I don't know. Whatever. If I'm going to battle for the United States, let me have NFL coach Bill Belichick doing some planning. Because I know that guy is going to do whatever it takes. And Bill Belichick comes in today at number 5. We move on to number 4. And while I want a good planner as we go to battle back in that war room, I also need someone who gets things done. You need to be strong. You need to be fast. You need to be fearless. You need to be tough. And honestly, you need to be a little bit mean. Well, our number 4 entry had all of those qualities. And this guy produced. Check this out. Michael Strahan and TJ Watt are tied for the most NFL sacks in a single season at 22.5. The great Bruce Smith has the most sacks in NFL history in his career at 200 sacks even. Well, thanks to nearly 30 years of research, Pro Football Reference has added sack totals for players that played before 1982 when sacks actually became an official NFL statistic. Up to this point, there have been some estimates of how many sacks people had recorded from some of the best pass rushers ever, but they were just kind of guessing. Well, Pro Football Reference actually did the work and came out with exact totals. According to their decades of research and film work, Los Angeles Rams pass rusher Deacon Jones is now unofficially credited with 26 sacks back in 1967. Now remember, in 67, he only played 14 games. Deacon Jones had 26 sacks in 14 games. Jones is also unofficially credited with 173.5 career sacks. That would be third most in NFL history if they actually, you know, counted those. Here's what's crazy. Jones racked up those 173.5 sacks in only 191 career games. Bruce Smith got his 200 by playing 279 games. For comparison's sake, if Deacon Jones had played as many games as Bruce Smith, he would statistically have over 250 sacks in his career. That, my friends, is serious production. But like I said, I also want someone who's a little bit mean. Deacon Jones was so mean that he would use a head slap to get opponents to close their eyes and then he could get by them. He would hit them in their head. Listen to this clip from NFL Films.
The head slap was to do two purposes. One was to give myself an initial head start on the pass rush. In other words, an extra step. Because anytime you go upside a man's head or a woman, then they have a tendency to blink their eyes or close their eyes, and that was all I needed.
Did you hear what he said? Did he really just say, if you hit a man or a woman? Play that again.
Because anytime you go upside a man's head or a woman.
He did. Deacon Jones said, when you hit a man or a woman. Was Deacon Jones trying to just be all-inclusive back before that was a big thing? I don't know what it was. Or was he giving advice? I don't have any idea. I don't know. I do know this. I want that guy on my side. Because he's going to hit whoever comes at him. And for that reason, Deacon Jones comes in today at number 4. We move on to number 3. And we reach another guy that I would go into battle with because I want a good planner back in the war room. I want a mean guy that has speed and strength and will slap anyone in their head, man or woman, apparently. But I do also want a planner in the field. I want someone that is smart. I want a tactician. I want someone who knows what to do before it even happens. Our number 3 entry knows the best way to attack the opposition because he has a mind like a computer. Former NFL quarterback Peyton Manning, he just had that mind. Peyton, honestly, he wasn't that great of a passer. His pass got there, but it really wasn't that pretty. Threw a lot of ducks. He wasn't even particularly over-athletic. He couldn't run fast or jump or really do anything physically. But Peyton Manning's mind was so sharp. He knew exactly how to hurt you. He would plan. He would think. He would change his plays on the fly. He would direct traffic and get people to be where they needed to beat you most effectively. Yeah, that's the kind of guy I want on the ground with me. Plus, I have a question for you. Have you ever heard the old line, say you're with a group of people and you see a bear. You get attacked by a bear. Remember, you don't have to be faster than the bear. I just have to be faster than someone else. Well, I guarantee I can be faster than Peyton Manning. Plus, that giant noggin of his is going to draw some fire away from me. Peyton Manning comes in today on our list at number 3 because I think he would actually be quite helpful in this sort of a situation. Okay, so we arrive at number 2. And you can see we are putting together quite a little team here so far. We have Bill Belichick in the war room. We have Deacon Jones slapping people in their heads. We have Peyton Manning in the field. He's planning. He's moving people into the right formations. Well, now we add one more quality. Because in this situation on our top 5 today, I want a winner. Hey, these poor people in the Ukraine, they're not playing some silly game. This is way more serious. And our thoughts are genuinely with all the people around the world that are being affected by this. But on this list today, I can't take a chance on someone who might lose. I need someone who knows how to come out on top. Well, how about we take a guy that has more rings than fingers? Because Bill Russell played 13 seasons in the NBA. I want you to think about this. Just 2 times in that 13 years, his season ended without a championship. The other 11, he won it all. No one can compare in the winning department to Bill Russell. He played 2 years ever that he didn't win the title at the end of the year. That's insane. 11 championships? No one's come close to that. But it wasn't just that. Bill Russell, after his playing career, then coached for 8 years and he won 2 more rings. Bill Russell had 13 rings. He almost had enough rings to fill 3 hands. Yeah, I need to win in this situation. Bill Russell won. And sometimes he beat more talented players. Sometimes he beat more talented teams. It didn't matter. Bill Russell found ways to be on the winning side of things. Oh, I would definitely want him with me if we have to fight. For that reason, Bill Russell comes in today at number 2. So we reached the number 1 person on the Daily Dose top 5 of Americans that I want going into battle alongside me if we actually have to fight. And I'm taking this number 1 guy for a few reasons. One, in his prime, he was very, very good. I mean, this guy could get into a phone booth and he could do some serious damage. But more importantly, he brought something else to the table. Because our number 1 guy brought intimidation. And something as scary as this, if I can scare you a little bit, that might help my side. Because you could see back in his prime, bigger, stronger men climbing into the ring against Mike Tyson. And you could tell they wanted nothing whatsoever to do with that Tasmanian devil. They were beaten before the fight even started. I mean, if you're scared to death before the battle ever begins, yeah, that's going to be good for my side. And make no mistake, like I said, Mike was talented. Mike could do damage. And if nothing else, Mike might bite you. He might kick you. He might try to eat your children. He wanted to intimidate you. Yeah, Mike Tyson is going to bring a little fear into play. And in this situation, I think I like that a lot. Hey, in all seriousness, we wish the best for all those affected by this scary situation. And we hope that here at the Daily Dose, we can take your mind off of all the craziness going on in the world, at least for an hour each week by talking about some subjects that are a little more fun, but nothing in comparison to things going on in the real world. Some scary stuff going on out there. If you are listening to this podcast right now, you are dealing with tough situations. Hey, I wish you and your loved ones health. I wish you safety, whatever it is that you are going through. Hey, next week on The Dose, we are going to begin turning some serious attention toward March Madness in that NCAA tournament. Who are the teams that can actually win it all? Who are some of the dark horses that you might want to keep in mind for your Cinderellas as you fill out that bracket? Be sure you stop by The Daily Dose next week and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you so much to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new things going up over there every week. But more than anything else, thank you so much for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles. We absolutely love it when you do that. I've said thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
I come from
Ukraine. You not say Ukraine weak.